This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Fame.
I've titled the sermon this morning, Fame. Fame. You know, there is something in the DNA of a number of people that makes them want to rise above the crowd and be noticed. Now, there's been a lot of research going on these days about social media, and researchers indicate that that quest for fame may explain in part the current Facebook and selfie craze. You know, it goes like this. If you won't take my picture and publish it, I will. And there we are, taking pictures of ourselves. So there's a variety of reasons, but certainly that may be one of them. When you were in high school, do you remember when you got your high school graduating picture? You remember that class picture? Who was the first person you looked for in that picture? And don't tell me it wasn't you, because I know better. Yeah, you look for yourself. This desire for fame or recognition is best exemplified by the rise to prominence of bloggers and any one of a variety of reality shows, which launch people from being just ordinary people into celebrity status. It's absolutely just amazing. And you think about the people who appear on American Idol. What do those people put themselves through? I mean, they can be ridiculed. They could be maligned. But as far as they are concerned, whatever is said, whatever is done, it's all worth the price. If they can just get that golden ticket and wind up in Hollywood, as far as they're concerned, that would be it. And why would you blame them? After all, sports figures and entertainment figures are greeted like gods across this world. The elevation of people from obscurity to glory is what we humans do. This is something that, regardless of how many times we're told we shouldn't do it, this is something we do. Someone put it this way. It starts with a man, it moves to a message, and it results in a monument. What does that mean? Well, the evangelist Dwight L. Moody never wanted his name to be associated with his ministry. He didn't want anything that said Dwight L. Moody this or Dwight L. Moody that. But when he passed away, his estate decided that what they wanted to do was name the church that he preached in the Moody Church in Chicago. And the wonderful Bible Institute that he formed, they decided to call it the Moody Bible Institute. You see, a man with a message we want to turn into a monument. Some find fame without really seeking it. Do you remember a ways back that airline pilot, that Captain Sauli Sollenberg? You remember the guy who crash-landed the plane in the middle of the Hudson River and everybody survived? He went from virtual obscurity one day to meeting with the President of the United States the next day and having tremendous celebrity. Other people struggle and sacrifice, break their hearts, ruin their lives in an attempt for what? In an attempt to be noticed and to get the break that allows them to soar to stardom. What does fame really mean? So here's a definition. It means great reputation and recognition. It means public esteem. The synonyms, words that mean the same, are renown, glory, celebrity, honor, name, acclaim, the limelight. And people can reach for this in a variety of ways. You know, you want to get yourself up the ladder in the structure of your organization. You want to have a name. You want to have a reputation. You want people to know you as you walk down the hallowed halls of that corporate institution. People want to be recognized. I know guys back in New York when I was working there who just loved to go to restaurants, to the place where they could be noticed by the maitre d'. Mr. B. It's you, Mr. D. Please let me get you your table. Let me find you your food. Is it going to be the usual? People love that. That sense of, yeah, everybody knows my name. Some of those who study human nature report we seek fame for a variety of reasons. Let me just share three with you. The first is that some reach for fame in an attempt to gain a sense of immortality. I want to live forever. The first line from the musical Fame is, Fame, I want to live forever. Some people desire to build something or to be someone remembered beyond the length of their own days. Secondly, some reach for fame in an attempt to find love and acceptance. One Academy Award winner you may remember, when she was holding her Academy Award in her hands, the Oscar in her hands, she looked out over the audience with tears streaming down her eyes, and she said, "You love me. You really love me." Hello, somebody. It's only a hunk of metal. Third, some reach for fame to find the significance and purpose of their lives. We hunger to be somebody and prove to the world that we can make it, whatever it is. Climbing Mount Everest, landing on the moon, being president, being the richest man or woman in the country. Whatever the reason, life validates what the Bible teaches. Fame is fleeting. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. What profit has a man of all his labor which he performs under the sun? One generation passes away, and another comes, but the earth abides forever. And verse 5 says, the sun also rises, and the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where he arose. Human life is transient. It's passing. But nature is permanent. The sun will rise the day after you and I get buried. It will come up. Adventurer, hunter, and author Ernest Hemingway wrote one of his greatest works titled, The Sun Also Rises. It was taken from verse 5 of the text I just read. Hemingway, despite his fame, his renown, and his fortune, he suffered from severe depression all his life. And one day, after being brought home from a mental institution, he went and got his hunting rifle and he blew his brains out. Ernest Hemingway, dead. One way or another, fame is fleeting. Fame can be a star which burns white hot for a while and then flames out. The London Daily Mail reports this, quote, Barry Manilow has finally accepted the fact that he's just not cool. It's taken him 35 years, but the singer born Barry Allen Pincus in Brooklyn, New York, yippee, is no longer trouble that sophisticated folks deem his music cheesy. Originally, he expected a different reception. Nobody could have been more surprised than I was to find out I wasn't hip, said Manilow, now 67. The January 14th edition of 2014 edition of The Week reports, fame creates its own challenges. It says this, Demi Lovato, who was almost destroyed by early fame, said Kate Williams in Nylon, N-Y-L-O-N. At age 7, she landed a role on TV's Barney and Friends, which led to star turns in Disney Channel movies and shows, and the release of several hit albums. But as her celebrity grew, so did her dangerous behavior. By the time she was 17, the singer and actress had stopped eating regularly, taken up drinking, doing drugs, and cutting herself. My parents tried to control me, she said, but I'd be like, I'm grounded? Well, I pay the bills. I thought that if I was adult enough to get there, that I could party like an adult. And obviously, I couldn't. After taking a swing at one of her backup dancers during a 2010 tour, Lovato agreed to enter rehab and get clean. The French Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte said, glory is fleeting. If the quest for fame is really a search for immortality, love, acceptance, significance, or purpose, to know you are somebody, may I submit that God has a better way to satisfy those needs. The wisest, richest, most influential king in Israel's history reflected on his life lessons, the lessons he had learned and recorded those reflections in the Bible in the well-known book we know as Ecclesiastes, which means preacher. What is it that he learned? He learned from his life experience, not from books, not from seminary, not from experience of the wise of somebody else. He learned this stuff on his own. King Solomon has everything. He has everything a person could possibly want. He's got all the power in the world. He's got all the money in the world. He's got all the recognition in the world. He has all the adoration in the world. He could be involved with anybody in the world he wanted to. He could go any place and do anything. And yet he found something out which people need to hear today. Here's what he writes in Ecclesiastes 2:11. Then I looked on all the works of my hands had wrought, and on the labor I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity. You know what that word vanity means? It means empty. Everything I had done was empty. And it was a vexation of spirit. It was trouble. There was no profit for me under the sun. If I could put it another way and paraphrase it, he said, when I looked at all my hands had achieved and I'd worked so hard to achieve, I realized it was all meaningless. It was like I was chasing the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. The world is chasing something. It's trying to grab onto something. It's trying to embrace something that will bring purpose and meaning, acceptance and love into their lives. And they're looking for love in all the wrong places. What about here? What about in here? What about from God? Solomon concludes the analysis of his life by saying this in Ecclesiastes 12:13. He says, fear God. Now, what does that mean? That means trust God. Put your faith in God. Put God at the center of your life. He said, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Solomon discovered in his life of fame, renown, wealth, and power that life without God is empty and unfulfilling. Let's move it forward a few thousand years. The UK Sunday Times reports this. Matthew Perry is thoroughly sick of Chandler Bing. Perry's role as a character by that name in the 1990s sitcom Friends made the actor very rich. During the last season, he was paid $1.6 million per episode. Not for the season, $1.6 million per episode. But the immense popularity of that show, coupled with his high-profile battle with alcohol and painkillers, made him a tabloid target. Perry, 44, still struggles with the show's legacy. He says, people come up to me every day and say, yo, Chandler, I don't like that. I'm not Chandler. You know that. He had a rare experience of anonymity during a recent trip to Hong Kong. It was one of the greatest weeks of my life, he said. No one person looked at me once. Nobody asked for my autograph. But Perry admits, as soon as he began missing his celebrity status, I wanted my fame back. Famous people want an on-off switch, which they can't have. You get the nice table at the restaurant. You get a lot of perks. You get a lot of people patting you on the back. You get a lot of people recognizing you. But you know the cliche. Listen to what he says. It doesn't make you happy. I'm talking to you about people in the contemporary world who are trying it all. And they've got so much of it. But what's the bottom line? It doesn't make you happy. Now, if these people have tried it and it doesn't make them happy, and countless scores of others, what makes you think that you can be happy outside of God, outside of Jesus Christ in your heart? Just making money or owning things can't satisfy the quest for meaning. Exercise and healthy eating cannot bring you immortality. And outward appearance is no true indicator of inward beauty. Another king of Israel named Saul was described by everybody who knew him. He was tall. He was handsome. He was rich. He'd be the perfect mythical king. He'd also be probably one of the greatest bachelors of all time. But God made a comment on this man. And in the course of commenting on him, he comments on us. And listen to what he says in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel the prophet, look not on Saul's countenance, his handsome appearance, or on the height of his stature, how tall he is, because I have refused, I've rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. For what? The world looks at the outward appearance, and the Lord looks on the heart. We look at people's appearance. One of the first things, if you haven't seen somebody in a while, you know what they're going to say to you when they look at you, hopefully? Hey, you look good. They say the same thing about people in their coffin. He looks so good. That's the first thing we think about, how people look, how people dress. But appearance isn't what God looks at. God's looking at the heart. Our culture is obsessed with beauty. And how do we know this? We know it from a variety of ways, but let's just talk about how much money is being spent on beauty products. $7 billion a year. $7 billion a year. Is it any wonder that so many young girls feel inferior because in their mind and in their self-image, they just don't measure up? They want to look like the movie star or the music video performer. Hollywood stereotypes tell them their body type is unattractive. What a lousy message to send to the young women of America. God says to the young women and to the young women of our congregation, you are beautiful. Your beauty glows from the inside out. Outward appearance will fade like the roses, but inward beauty, created and developed by the Holy Spirit, will grow and glow for a lifetime. You will be beautiful forever with Jesus in your heart. You will be beautiful forever if kindness shines out from your eyes. You will be beautiful forever if you can love people in a pure and honest and holy way and demonstrate that love by how you care for those around you. The culture also stereotypes young men alternately as weak, feminized, incompetent, lazy, beer-guzzling boobs, or greedy, lust-filled predators. The Bible offers a different vision. Under the influence and submission to the Holy Spirit, the man of God demonstrates certain qualities. 1 Corinthians 9, 25 to 27 says that if you are a man of God, if you're in God's word, you have self-control over the lower aspects of who you are. You're not just being led by your hormones. You have self-control in how you speak to people and how you treat people and what you think of women. And 1 Corinthians 4:20 says that that man of God is a person with mature understanding. You're not just acting like a kid all the time and doing dumb things all the time. That you come to a place where you realize that those are childish and you need to put them aside. And 2 Samuel 10, 11, and 12 says that a mature man of God is a man who can face danger with courage. Let me tell you something. It takes courage for young people this day to tell everybody around them that they believe in Jesus Christ, that they believe in this book, that for them there are some absolute rights and there are some absolute wrong. It says that you have courage when you can stand up to the culture and say, I'm not going to do that because I believe that God would not be pleased. That takes courage. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, a believing young man is a man who endures hardship. In these days, Christians are going through some hard times. It is not cool to be a Christian. Believer, if only we could see ourselves as the Lord sees us. The psalmist reminds us that God made each of us as a unique creation. No two people are the same. The Bible says God knows your name. And because of Christ living in you, you are a notable child of the King of the universe. You're not just one of 7 or 8 billion people on the planet. When Jesus died on that cross, and there were probably only 300 million people on the earth at that point, you were on his mind. He visioned you. He saw you. When you pray, it's as if nobody else in the universe is praying. Nobody else on this planet is praying. When you're praying, he's hearing your individual prayers. And when you cry out to him, he's hearing your tears. He wants to wipe away your tears. He wants to lift you up and care for you. You are someone of value to Jesus. He has given you unique gifts, talents, and in God's plan, you have a unique purpose. God loves you, and he expects you to love yourself. Christ gave the church 2 great commandments. Listen, commandment number 1 is found in Matthew 22 and verse 37. There it says, we are to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Do you love the Lord this morning? Or could you care less? You know, this morning, I'm not just speaking to our congregation here. I'm speaking to folks who are listening on the radio. Folks, do you love God with all your heart and all your mind? Or are, as far as you're concerned, is God off the radar? Have you done in your individual life what the society has done to God and the public sector and the public square? Have you pushed him off the scene? Is he not even standing in the wings of your life anymore? Or is he at the center core of who you are this morning? He said, it's got to begin with your love for me, and then I'll help you to love others. And the second commandment, Matthew 22 and verse 39, we are to love others as we love ourselves. If we don't love ourselves with a healthy love, how can we possibly love anybody else? Listen to Ephesians 5:28 if you don't believe what I just said. He said, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. It's not a love like an ego love that you are, that the sun rises and sets on your head. It's not that kind of love. It's that respect for yourself that you will follow in God's footsteps and do what it is that he would have you to do to keep yourself safe and healthy and happy. Most people will never achieve the great fame that some are striving for. But every person can achieve the deeper things that drive people to seek fame. If in the final analysis, humanity's quest for fame is at its heart a search for significance, God has a better way through Jesus Christ. If it's a search for love and acceptance, God has a better way in Jesus Christ. If it's a search for immortality, God has a better way in Jesus Christ. And that better way is summed in this verse that is considered to be the Bible within the Bible. We're going to project it up here. You know it. And you know how it begins, for God so loved the world. But I left it blank today. Because what I'd like you to do is where that blank is, instead of saying the world, would you put your name in there? Because like we said before, when he was on the cross, you were on his mind. Would you repeat with me now John 3:16 and put your name right in there in that blank? Here we go. For God so loved Bob that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You're why he came to this earth. You're why he died. In your place he died. You're why he's looking down from heaven and counting the 150,000 hairs on your head, if you've got that many left anymore. You're the one he's looking at. You're the one he cares for. Will you receive his love? And will you return that love to those around you? That's a much better offer and a much better promise than anything the world has to offer. There's a wonderful phrase that I like to repeat often to myself, and I'd like to repeat it to you. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Amen. This morning, Father, we would just pray If there be any here who has lost their first love, who has grown cold in their love for Jesus, if there be any here this morning who has never fallen in love with Jesus, that this would be an hour to reconsider that place. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. You say, Pastor, I've kind of grown cold in my relationship to Jesus. I don't have that burning love I once had for him. Would you pray for me this morning? I want to grow closer to him. I want to love him more. I want my life each and every day to be a life spent with Christ at its center. Pastor, would you pray for me this morning? I want to get closer to the Lord today. If there's anybody here who has never received Christ as their Savior, you've thought about it, you've pushed it out of your mind, today could be the day of salvation for you. If you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, it will be the greatest day of your life. The baggage that you brought into this place, you can put in his hands. The anger that you have towards God, towards Christianity, towards Christians, you can put that aside this morning, and he will grow with you. He will allow your love to grow so that you can reach out to other people. If you come to a place where you think science now can explain God away, and that's the reason why you won't receive him, can I tell you, true science is the search for truth, and the truth can be found in God and in Jesus Christ. If you don't know him this morning, would you like to receive him this morning? If you did, let's pray this prayer together. Lord, I've been far away from you for a long time, but now I want to come to you. I pray you will forgive me of my sin. I pray that my heart will be open up to your Holy Spirit. I pray that you will enter inside of me. I want to be a Christian this morning. I want to follow Jesus. I pray, Lord, you forgive me of my sin, and I pray that you will strengthen my walk so that each and every day I will go closer to Christ and more like him and love those around me. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.
Don't forget, summer hours begin Sunday, June 29th. Sunday school, 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 9:45 a.m. Summer hours will continue through Labor Day weekend, and regular hours will resume Sunday, September 7th.